All right, we're started. Hey everyone, I'm Lindsay, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
I'm Jamie, I'm a heroin and cocaine addict.
Hey, Jamie.
All right, glad y'all are here. Or not, whatever.
I feel like the majority of the room is affected.
No, it's fine, it's fine. So, Miles and other members of the committee, if there is one, we're not sure, thank you so much for asking Jamie and I to go here. We're going to be going over 5, 6, and 7. So it's steps 5, 6, and 7. And that's that. So do you want to kick it off or you want me to?
Go for it.
Yeah. So in short, like, if you all had like a lot of information, and I'm going to preface similar to what most people have said. I know Elric directly said it. You've heard a lot of great, amazing stuff from the big book, people's experiences, some mechanical stuff with the 12 steps, some just concepts, all this stuff. But at the end of the day, everything that has been said, it really doesn't matter if you don't do it. It just doesn't. You can learn, you can study the big book, you can learn all this cool stuff, and it won't matter if there's not an experience of practice. So I wanted to definitely say that, because, I mean, I might have missed that for a while myself. Let me get to where we're supposed to be here in the fifth step. All right, so wrapped up the inventory, and then on page 72, in the chapter Into Action, it says, having made our personal inventory, what should we do about it? And it says, we've been trying to, and I always preface this when I'm going through the book with a newcomer and we're approaching this portion, is the intentions we're trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and discover the obstacles in our path. So if you notice, there's two words, there's new. So each time, whether it's your first time going through a 12-step process or the 30th time, each time it's a new experience. Each time it's a new attitude and a new relationship with your Creator, and to see what is blocking you, limiting you, objectionable, what's in the way of having that. So I'm probably not going to go through all this line by line. We really don't have that kind of time. But in short, we're going to go on. It says, this brings us to the fifth step of the program of recovery mentioned. All right, and it goes down and says, we think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Does anyone here have experience with... I know what's going on here. I see what's affected. You know, I already see this. I already know. We're good. Mm-hmm. We're going to stop right there. Right? Solitary self-appraisal is insufficient in my experience. And it probably is in yours if you looked at it. So... it says, many of us thought it necessary to go much further, because up until now, we have not gone any further than what Tarek described as, I'm upset, like Drake. I'm upset. I know you guys.
Drake's upset, y'all.
Drake's upset, right? I'm upset, and I'm pissed, and it's because of you, right? That's as far as I've ever gotten. So they're saying we should go much further. The best reason first. So this might be very important. Do you believe that if you skip this vital step, you may not overcome drinking? So they're giving you that preface right there. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. But anytime I'm working with anybody, I don't care if you've got 2 months or multiple years, time after time, addicts and alcoholics have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. So even... I'm sure if there's anyone here with even just a little bit more time and experience, for some reason, when the ego reconstructs, it's even more difficult at 3 years to be completely transparent and authentic about what's going on in your life than it probably is with 90 days. So it's very, very vital. Easier methods go on. So They took inventory, all right, but they hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. So we'll get into that with more of the fifth step instructions. More than most people, the alcoholic addict leaves a double life. He is very much the actor to the outer world. He presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. So this kind of stuff right here, the leading a double life, right, or having presenting to you something that is inauthentic, is insanely dangerous for someone like me, and I have vast amounts of experience with it. Because up until now, what you would see, I'd be so terrified if you actually knew that I'm scared to death, if you actually knew that I have, like, really creepy thoughts, if you actually knew that I don't know what I'm talking about, then you might not see me in a light and you might not be there, right? So the problem is when I present to you this idea, because this whole thing's about humility. And it is funny, out of this a year span, I've been asked to do two panels, right? Out of all these years, I've never been asked to do a panel on like 5, 6, or 7, but twice now. It's twice. Step 7. The universe is trying, you know, clearly there's something within that very much value humility over most all things. Really don't care. I mean, I do, but I mean, you can do a lot of stuff. You can pray a whole lot. You can read some great books. You can meditate a lot. You can do all this stuff. But if there is not a deep, authentic humility that is embodied here, that is, I believe, a grace of God that gives us that kind of space where I can just say, like, this is what I did. You know, it might make me look a certain way, but I have to be so, so committed on connecting to you regardless of anything else. So it might risk the fact that you might now view me as like, well, Lindsay doesn't know what she's talking about anymore, or I can't believe she lied. Yes, I lied. Of course I lied, you know. Of course I did that. But I need you to know these things. So therefore, I don't have any more double life. There's no separation, right? Those kinds of things. Do you have anything on that?
More so with the separation, I found that it really does matter my intention with inventory, and I love what Lindsay's already talked about with trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. Because the first time that I went through the step process, it was very clear, like, I have a heroin problem, right? Like, I have a really big issue keeping needles out of my arms. Smoking crack is way, way too much fun. So it was very clear to me that it was like, okay, there's a vast amount of unmanageability. And not that all of that had been explained or that I had the terminology for any of that within the first 90 days, which I went through the step process. And even when I went through the step process, it was like not really through the book so much, but it was based on the 12 steps. And I guess what I find interesting is that the times that I've been through the book past then, it's very much based on my intention, because I'll get out of inventory what I think, right? So if I'm going into the inventory and the step process believing that this is to make me feel better, right? This is to, I don't know, like, fix some issue that I find objectionable, or those are really the two things, like, absolutely, and it wasn't until it was brought to my attention, that's me trying to put a Band-Aid over it, right? That's, like, me utilizing the fourth and fifth step process as if it's dope. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to inventory the crap out of this problem, and all of a sudden I'm going to feel better. And that's just not been my experience. The thing with inventory is that we're looking. I'm investigating. I'm questioning. That's not cute. It's not, I'm not, oh my God, I'm such a good person after the inventory process. What it does is it puts light on shit. And I really like the way, I think it was Tarek, the way that you worded it, of, like, I've got to get, I mean, of course, the unblocking process, right, that happens from fourth and fifth step, but really just that lack of separation, like Lindsay was saying, like, all of a sudden, all of this shit that's been going on inside that I couldn't even really understand, that I thought were all of my issues, and now reality has been shown upon them. And I'm able to connect to God, to another individual. Mm-hmm. But it's just not cute. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, that's some shit. Mm-hmm. That's some gross stuff that, like, you know is there. That's the crazy part about inventory. And that's why, like, I think it was Bill who said, you know, what's the stigma around the fourth step process? Because I think there's a stigma around the fifth step process of, like, this is going to be life-changing.
True.
Like, oh my God, the first time I've ever sat down with another person and told them all of my things, you know? And it's like, I don't know, because I had relationships, right? Like, it's not like I was just, like, alone for the 19 years of life before I found the rooms, you know? But there was something, like, extremely powerful of, okay, here's my intention. Like, my intention is to get a new attitude, a new relationship with God as I understand him, you know? And that's so much different than any other intention that I had had. Yeah. Like, it was like, I need to feel better, and I need to feel better now because I feel really yucky and really uncomfy, and this isn't fun anymore. So that's the biggest thing. I like the way this chapter started off with. And then in terms of stage character, I mean, I don't know, the double life is hilarious to me because I'm like, try like quadruple life, you know, like, mm-hmm. and that's one of my favorite things about inventory, is just kind of figuring out like, okay, what am I hiding behind? What are these different, you know, masks that I put on and all this different stuff? Because I'm not even awake to any of that before this process, really. It's like, I kind of know, but I kind of don't. So the whole thing brings a lot of clarity.
Mm-hmm. It really is, because I think it's one of the most common things I see is, you know, someone's like, oh, even if they're truly, you know, hopeless, probably go through, and wow, they've had this great experience. And that's why there's a continuation with the 12 steps, because even over time, when the ego will reconstruct, it will, it's fascinating that all the time now, you know, oh, I'm sober, but now I can't, like, I have to be so sober. Like, you can't actually know that I actually am not having a good time sober. I gotta, like, lie about it. That's, like, the weirdest thing, you know? Or, I mean, I went through this thing more than once where I really did. It's like I had this whole powerful experience with God in the 12 steps, and some time went by, and then all of a sudden all of this stuff's coming back up, and I would leave. I would get the place, like, oh, hey, but I'd leave and just be like, just like
going 55 on the highway.
Yeah, just like
in silence.
Yeah, and it's inconsistent. You know, the inconsistency of this, of all of these things I'm putting out there, because I really believe that if you view me a certain way, then you will love me, accept me, cherish me, respect me, all of these things. And if you don't, then, I mean, I just might as well die. You know, I mean, just screw it all. Like, what is that? Super dramatic and very confused. So, we're going to go on. This is one of my favorite parts. We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live longer happily in this world. So, do you believe, and does your experience show, that you need to be entirely honest with somebody if you expect to live longer happily in this world? That's just at the end of the day. I mean, at the end of the day, if you expect to live long and happily in this world, you must be honest with somebody and people in my life, right? So, and it says, of course, we think naturally, or rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons with whom we take this intimate and confidential step. And, you know, it does say person or person, so I do invite, the book invites everybody to the opportunity to have multiple fifth steps, right? I still, to this day, don't understand why that's, like, the craziest thing anyone's ever heard of, right? Because think about it. Who here has done a fifth step? That's a lot of people in this room. Wow. Okay, great. I'm not used to that. I'm just like two. You know, I'm like, oh, my God. That's so exciting. So think about it. I mean, once you get down the dark crannies of the past and all of the kind of dark, you know, that stuff, after that, it's literally, I would read y'all my fifth step.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's a bunch of baloney anyways. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you got the same thing. Like, there's no dilute. Like, y'all, we're literally writing the same inventory. It's, we're all doing the same stuff. We're reading from the same book. It's, we're, when I receive a fifth step, I mean, it is me. And when I am sharing one, trust me, the other individual is like, yeah, got it. Me too. I get that. Oh, did that last week. So I don't know why we think like, oh my God, I can only share this one person ever in my entire life. I'm like, no, have an excuse. That is one of the most powerful things of this, of right here, is the invitation to share with more people. It's not a scary, creepy thing. It's like, I'm really mad at Joey because they didn't like acknowledge me when I walked into the room. You know, that seems so silly and disgusting and like weird. I'm like, dude, Joey feels the same damn way. Joey feels the same way. So does Julie, so does Barbara, so does Lindsay. Like, we're scared, y'all. We need to connect with that to realize that we're all walking shoulder in shoulder and to confide in that. Plus, different angles. Every time I read to a different individual, I'm going to receive a different angle, a different experience, a new consideration. And I want as many people close to my life to see this stuff. I want to be as open as possible. How free do you want to be? Like, why would you not? Why would you not? This is just crap. I mean, the inventory is not who I am. That's all the crap. It's all the lies. It's all the delusions. It's all the fears. It ain't you. So the more you get to experience who you are with another individual in a fifth step, why wouldn't you want to do that more than once? You know? Seriously. Especially, I mean, of course, like, you want to make sure an individual is, like, that you're reading to can uphold that confidence, right? Especially if you're sharing some old past stuff and, you know, stuff that you might want very kept secret. I mean, you want to do someone that you trust. But I tell you, I have no issue. I mean, anytime I take a woman through the 12 steps, I tell her, you will hear my inventories. I will call you for 10 steps. That will happen because it's a shoulder to shoulder. And I need you to see me as I am, and I need you to know that there is no, I am not up here and you're not down here. And this process facilitates that. It very much does. So we're going to go on, and of course they're like, hey, you know, back in the day when this was written, of course there's not, that we didn't have a fellowship. You know, you might have to go to a priest or something. Well, guess what? Today you got one, you got a sponsor, and you got people, so you're fine. You don't have to do all that. And then, when we have decided who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have written an inventory and prepared for a long talk. And so I always, when I'm sitting in front of a woman, I asked her, it says, we explain to our partner what we're about to do and why we have to do it. I ask her, what are we about to do? And why do we have to do it? And I love it when they're like, oh, I got no idea. And I'm like, don't you love that? We just talked for 2 hours and you have no idea what we're doing. And it's awesome because it's simple. We explain a part of what we're about to do. What we're about to do is, well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we're going to look at and examine, right, the inventory. We're going to look at the grosser handicaps, the defects of character. We're going to look at aspects of character. But more than anything, right, of course it's about causes and conditions, but more than anything, what we're about to do is we're about to have a new experience with this stuff that you've got written down, right? We're going to have a different angle on it, and we're going to connect on it. We're going to have a space that's provided here between two people where we can exist and have a new experience that this might not be true. Maybe it's not true. And one of the coolest experiences that I've had in fifth steps is not, oh my God, they said this saying and all of a sudden. It was honestly just being able to rest. Like, I can share this with you and you can be with me and we can be with each other, right? because I'm sharing stuff that I've never shared before, or been there before. You know, now I'm sharing it with another human being, and they're like, yes, I love you. You know, like, oh, you're full of shit, you know, whatever it is. I'm like, God, you're right, you know. We're going to connect. That's what it's all about. We're about to connect, and we're about to have some new angles. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever I'm working with a woman who has a lot of trepidation around 4 and 5, I love it because I'm like, dude, why? And they really don't know why. Usually it's just something I have no idea what it is. I think it is also like, I don't know what that is in meetings either. Like, dude, I did a 4-step and then I got drunk. And I'm like, where did that come from? It is amazing though, and I found this more with junkies than anybody else, is that we'll get desperate enough and we'll work through 5. Bye. Like, I'm not, you know, I was desperate, definitely not willing. But it is. It's very interesting because every single time I'm like, y'all, we're just going to laugh. Like, that's the most powerful thing for me. I really love hearing rest, but for me is the laughter. Because I've been taking this shit so seriously and identifying with it for so long that, of course, I'm in a fucking condition about it, you know? I mean, fuck, 26 years later, we're still dealing with the fact that my daddy didn't love me right. You know, like, this is still my shit, and I'm so heavily identified with it until this process. And obviously, it's very much dependent upon, you know, state of surrender and all that. But I think that's the nicest part to me, is to be able to sit in front of another woman and be like, absolutely, me too. Can we see how ridiculous this is? Because, I mean, I'd love to say 9 times out of 10, but it really is 10 times out of 10. I'm full flight from reality. Like, what is that? You know what I mean? Like, my brain has taken it and twisted it in this weird way, and now I get to be right-sided. So, further on in the text, in the middle of 75, we've got fifth-step promises. We pocket our pride to go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. That's all that we're doing. And it doesn't say, like, oh, you know, what a piece of shit you are. That's what we're illuminating.
Yeah, that's what we're illuminating.
You know, that's like light. Me identified with all of that stuff. Like, me, this is who I am. What is that? You know, like, I'm in the midst of a huge evolution, a huge change, and I'm going to identify with all this old shit? That doesn't make any sense. So once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Is that something yesterday? Who was
Thursday?
Thursday. Yeah. That was so great. Yeah. They just like completely laughed at that statement, which I still can. Some of the terminology in here, I'm like, what broad highway? What's the deal here? And who's the spirit of the universe? But it is, like, there's things in here that even, like, I don't know, super angsty, 60-day sober, like, scabby arm Jamie could get down with, you know? Like, all right, I can look the world in the eye. That's tight. Like, that's really tight, y'all. Like, I mean, even up until last year, I was still, like, when I would talk to people, I'd be like, so now, and I would just stare at the ground. Every single time I've spoken, it's like staring at the ground. And it's an incredible thing. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. I don't know. These are huge, huge promises to me. So, yeah. I don't know.
All right, and real quick, when it says we should realize we're engaged upon a life and death errand, most people approaching this way will be glad to help. They'll be honored by a confidence. I personally, make it a very clear statement when I sit down with anybody that this is of the highest confidence.
Oh, yeah.
The spiritual, this is of the highest confidence. What is shared and experienced here really is, in my experience, sacred, right? And I'm very, am I clear that this is a life and death errand, right? Because it's true, I've been sober for a little bit, so, you know, someone calls me, we do a fifth step, I'm like, sure, do it on Sunday. It's like normal life, but at the end of the day, it's like, whoa, whoa, like life or death errand here. Like, this is vital for someone's breath, all right? And I want to share, before I go on to this hour portion, I can't tell you how grateful I am for every every man and woman who have sat and taken time out of their day to listen to me and to offer their love, their guidance, their support, and their experience. I cannot be more grateful for the individuals who questioned me in my inventory in the fifth step, who were able to show me that I am not this crap, you know, that I'm actually just so rooted in self. I'm just so confused. I believe things that are not true about me, right? That offer me a lot of momentum so I can experience some reality through the process in 10, 11, 12, right? And some of the most profound experiences, I was talking to a woman this morning, a girl I sponsor, and she's got the shit going on, of course, don't we all? And she's like, I need to do something about it. And we were talking and chatting, and I was like, I'm telling you, the 12-step process is designed perfectly, right? I have been in the middle of some of the most just emotionally painful, confusing, I'm a lost puppy, whatever. And a woman asked me to sit and do a fifth step with me, and it just, everything I needed happened in that experience, right? The greatest teaching I ever had came from someone with like 12 months sober, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, thank you. thank you for being honest. Thank you for being real. I did a fifth step not too long ago, and this woman shared with me, she was like, where have I been dishonest? She goes, my delusion is that she's mad and I know what's going on here. I was like, I've been rolling around writing all this inventory for all these years. I don't know if I've ever written that, but I've been in that delusion for about 11 years. You know, so many times. How many times, look at your experience where you're like, I know exactly what's going on here. I know why they're not talking to me. It's because da-da-da-da-da. You know, I know why they're acting that way. I know. We don't know. We have no idea. We have no idea what's going on most of the time. You know, I think so-and-so's being a jerk. Really, we don't know what kind of life issues that they're experiencing right then and there. Right. She said that and I about fell out of my chair. Right. I did another fist show with a woman a little while ago and she said, it hit me like a ton of bricks. She goes, I'm in the delusion that this should be easier. Yeah. Don't think about it. Anytime you're in resistance with something, this should be easier. It's not. You know, some stuff's hard, y'all. That's why we got to come together. This shit's hard, you know. Not necessarily this exact process, but man, stuff in life's tough. Divorce is tough. Loss of family is tough. Your mind is hard, you know, and makes it up, you know. So it's just some of the most profound experiences have been from other men and women who are willing to put it out on the table, because guess what? I'm right there. That's me. I'm the same. So that's why we got to come together to do this. So returning home, we find a place we quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we've done. We thank God from the bottom of our hearts that we know him better. So he's always asked to me, what is that? Why would you know God better after reading an inventory, right? Well, in my experience, I know God better because I'm much clearer on who I am not. Does that make sense? The great reality is deep within, and for many, many years, all the alcoholism and drug addiction, all of this crap that I've been telling myself, that I'm a piece of crap, that I'm blah, 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 I'm not smart enough, you know, and they did me wrong, and all of this stuff, when it kind of gets on an even playing field and I have some compassion, I can see that, wow, I'm a big hypocrite, you know, and I can kind of see like, gosh, man, maybe I'm not. And I can kind of have an experience with this thing that really I'm just scared. I'm not a jerk, you know. I'm actually not a monster. I'm a little squish. Oh. Yeah. I'm like a little squish who tries to put on a big show and ain't none of it true, you know. So then I can rest there and I'm like, wow, I do kind of know God better, you know, and that kind of squishy, like, oh, man, maybe, you know, like... I'm just scared, you know. I actually don't hate them. You know, I'm just scared that, you know, whatever. So I might know God better. And plus, when you kind of get connect with someone, anytime you connect with a human being, you will know God better. Mm-hmm. So when you're sitting in there and you kind of tear up with your sponsor, and y'all kind of connect, and you're like, God damn, yeah. You know God better. Trust me. That right there, you know, you do. That's it, you know. So we take this book down from our shelf. We turn to the page, which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, so the first five steps, we ask if we've admitted anything. So I literally, I mean, I do what the book, I just do what the book says to do. And I tell everybody, we're just going to do what this says to do. So do what that says to do. It's so simple. You know, I'm like, oh, you're going to go home. You're going to take the book down. You're going to open it up. You're going to sit, put on a timer, throw it over there. Don't look at it. Timer over there. Sit, do a little bit of meditation, and then follow the instructions. So you're looking over, carefully reviewing what you've done. Have you admitted anything? For we're building an arch which we shall walk a free man at last. Is your work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have you skimmed on the cement, put in the foundation? Have you tried to make mortar without sand? All those questions are basically, you actually have to go within and ask yourself, dude, was there anything you left out? Right? And trust me, I believe this process is designed perfectly because the hour with God is not only for reflection, prayers, meditation, all this cool stuff. It's also to sift out, right? I have this experience. I did a fifth, my second fifth step, like 2 years sober, and it wasn't like an intentional left something out, but I got home, and in the hour, it was like, doof, popped up. And I was like, boop. Oh, my God. And I was, like, terrified, you know? I was like, oh, my God, I got to, like, get honest about that. Shit. You know? Made the phone call so terrified. A giggle and a laugh. Oh, have fun with the prayer. Bye. Yeah, no big deal. I was like, oh, look at that. We're fine. You know, no big deal. So in that hour, stuff's going to come up. Allow that stuff to come up, whatever it is, right? And if there's anything you've admitted, maybe you don't understand, you left out, whatever, this is the time and place. And I also instruct suggest women I'm working with within that hour, we're also going to take a look at. I give them other stuff to take a look at in that hour. Just really uncommon for any newcomer to sit for a dang hour. I mean, I don't want you to go too wacky, you know. I mean, yeah, I'm going to give you some stuff to do because, you know, a little bit more specific.
My favorite thing, too, is that, I don't know, it always tells me a lot when, like, the answer is always yes. Like, of course my work's solid. I just love that so much. I remember... I don't know. I'm, like, not a one white chip wonder. I spent, like, a year. I don't know how many fucking white chips I have. But I remember this counselor at this treatment I was at. They were like, well, have you ever tried it 100%? I was like, yeah, I have. And I believed that. Like, I was like, obviously. And that's another interesting thing about this paragraph is that it's just asking. Right, like these are all considerations, and I should question it. I should interrogate it. I don't think there's an hour that I've done in which it was like something didn't pop up. Like I really don't. I mean, the first time I did inventory, like I don't know, for like 6 months after, I was freaking out because like I don't know, I did a lot of drugs, y'all. So it's like memories would come back, and I was like, oh my God, I didn't put that on my four step.
I'm gonna get high.
I was like, oh, I'm gonna smoke crack today. So I would just, like, immediately call my sponsor, and she was like, whoa, okay. And it like, happened multiple times. She was like, you're okay.
Yeah, if you've ever had that thing of, like, oh, my God, I can't remember everything. And if I leave it off on 4-7, I don't see my fist, I'm going to get high. And I'm like, if you don't remember it, what the hell? Like, the,
do you know how many doesn't matter. Do?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is not your first rodeo, and you are going to forget things. Not everything's going to get on that thing. Yeah. Welcome. It will come on the next one. It will come in a week. It's going to be the commitment to the continual disclosure, right? And we're going to go into 6 and 7 real quick. And thank God, like, I mean, it's really funny, y'all, because the universe this past year is like, do these two panels on steps, like, 7, or now it's 5, 6, and 7. But it's so funny because step 7, for many years, I interpreted this very incorrectly, and not only that, this is actually, these two steps just have this much to do with me, like zero. So I've had to speak on two steps that I can't even be like cool speaking about because there's nothing for me to say. Like, I can't even be like, well, this is a cool little trick here and a little spiritual cool thing here. I'm like, no, it's just God. So we'll go into to this, which I've step six and seven. For me, I mean, you can, there's a lot of cool stuff out there. 12 and 12 is cool. All this stuff's great. I'm just going to share what the book talks about and then my experience with that and Jamie as well. So if we can answer to our satisfaction, we look at step six. We've emphasized willingness as being indispensable. So are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Question mark. In short, when it says, like, we launch in a course of vigorous action, like four-step, I literally heard someone say this the other day, and they were like, vigorous action, that's not just for the four-step, that's, like, for the rest of the steps. And I was like, no shit, that's true. Like, this is very fast and fluid. This is not, like, ponder for 3 months. and I have yet to experience any individual who's been surrendered to go through here after a fifth step, and they're out with God and be like, I have no idea what they're talking about. Right, with we admitted, can God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? In that process, we have seen these things. We see how they play out. We've seen these angles. So if someone's really, it's a state of being. It's like, is objectionable means like to limit. So what does this limit? If I'm deeply rooted in resentment, it limits my connection to you. If I'm deeply rooted in fear, it limits my connection with you because I can't be in constant flow, transparent, and authentic. I can't allow God to move through me if I'm blocked by those things. It limits. Can I see that? If an individual, I've yet to meet anyone who's like, no, I'm pretty good. Look, things are well. You know, things aren't well. You know, this is not fine, like, not good. We're going to be good, though, right? Because you can see now that they are limiting you from yourself and God and others. That's it. It's that simple. So, it's a question. And then, can God take them all, everyone? Yes or no? Maybe so. Whatever. You know, usually most individuals are like, yes, take him. I'm like, okay, we'll see.
Yeah, I get a little bit creeped out when there's a pause there. I mean, I can get it. I can wrap my head around it, but it's a very interesting concept. Like, dude, we just did this. Like, we prepared for a long talk. We've had that long talk. Like I said, things weren't cute. So if you're going to read through six and be like, I'll keep it.
Yeah, I like that debilitating fear.
Yeah.
It's prevented me from love and life for very many years.
Yeah.
Working well.
It's been really fun.
Yeah, it's been great.
This has been a good time.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm going to keep it. And usually, like, honestly, sometimes it's more so in the fifth step process, you can tell exactly where six is going to go. Right? Where, like, there's just, like, absolutely no connection to what the hell is going on. Which I've been there, too. Like I said, not one white chip. So it was like, I've... It's just hilarious to me because six made no fucking sense. Of course it didn't. Because five, I was like, I'm not telling all that. You know, but if you go through thoroughly and honestly, which is all that it is, right? Mm-hmm. There's no way that I'm going to want it. Mm-hmm. Of course God can take it. Please.
Yeah. So the biggest thing with step six is really just the understanding and awareness, right? After the connection to see that these things to which you have operated out of for all of these years do not serve you. They are limiting you from accessing relationships and power in your life. They are limiting you from being with you, from being able to be at peace with yourself and others. And that's it. But after that, it's being able to see that you in and of yourself cannot remove that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that's why what's so trippy with six and seven, you can do all sorts of heady stuff. And I've done some other, like, oh, I'm going to do the seven-step exercise. I've done a lot of, and it's all great and fine. Do whatever you want. But at the end of the day, my experience for me, I just do what's here because I'm so crystal clear. I tried so hard to outpray my defects, to inventory out my defects, to out-meditate them, to try so much force to be better, do better, just do better. You know, be nicer, be more spiritual. That's the thing, is that it tells me a few pages before that without God, I can't do this stuff. That I, in and of myself, don't have the power to outrun my defects. I don't like them because a big reason why I don't like my defects of character is because, sure, you're going to think I'm a jerk, and I want you to think I'm the best, right? Or whatever it is, because they make me look bad, right? But the biggest thing in my experience with 6 and 7 is really being clear as day that this is about you and your relationship with God, right? This is like God's work, is to do with you what he will, what the universe will. It's about humility, building of character, all of these things. But I can't on my own outrun my stuff. I have no room to let God reorganize and rearrange me. Because all the sixth step is saying it's a state of consciousness and being with a few questions that you ask your heart and you ask yourself. And if that is very clear, if we still cling to something, we'll not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. And then when you're ready, you say something like this, and it's a prayer, right? It's a seven-step prayer, and it's affirming the experience that you've had thus far. It's affirming the six-step experience. Right, it's like I'm so clear, God, that without you and without your help and your guidance of my fellows to connect to them, that I am of nothing, and I'm so clear that I can't do it, and I'm so clear that I need some help on this broad highway. Right, I need you, God, and I'm going to say this prayer from the bottom of my heart because damn near I can't stop it on my own. If you're anything like me, you can try. I mean, oh wow, I'm arrogant. Be humbled. Okay, I'll do that today. No problem. Not my experience. I try to be humble all damn day, but until I have been humbled by the spirit of the universe, it's probably going to be some inauthentic bullshit, to be quite honest. You know, it's probably going to be a show. So I very much just trust how the steps are laid out. I don't try to add a lot of stuff in there, take a lot of stuff out. I just do it says, you know, because it's going to happen again and again. So do you want to go through the prayer?
Oh, but I mean, I'll talk a little bit more about six.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, it took me a really, up until like the last couple of experiences that I've had with the steps to really, okay, there's two paragraphs. And up until this point, I had like any kind of work that I had done with sponsors in years past had been like, okay, like I need an assignment here. Like Lynn said, there's like a lot of different things that you can look at, especially if you use Google. The 12 and 12 is great. It's, I don't know, the seventh, I think the sixth step gets a little biblical up in there. But even at that point, I was like, you're right. Every single one of my defects relates to these sins. I don't know, I like got real wacky with it. I've like whipped out a thesaurus and looked up the antonyms of these defects that my sponsor had listed out. And then I remember being really shocked. I think it was like my third or fourth inventory and like fist up experience that my defects had changed, or that I had more, or like that they looked a little different, or that my pattern was different. I was like, I thought that's who I was. Like, this is who I am. Again, very identified with this list that like some chick with 6 months sober wrote. Very interesting to me. But yeah, so I mean, I really, like Lindsay said, I really do believe that for a long time there, I was going to summon the whole power. The book had already told me I didn't have.
I already admitted I didn't have.
Right. Like, I've already said, like, I've lost, you know, don't have any power, powerless, need God. And then I get to six, and I'm like, okay, Jamie, buckle down.
Yeah.
And, like, I would, like, carry the list around in my wallet, y'all. Like, it was rough. Like, I'd be like, okay, jealousy's cropping up. Okay, I need to act kind. And it was so painful. Like, so painful. And every time I'd go back through stuff, I'm like, God, this isn't getting any better, and I'm so confused. And yes, of course, there were things that were being removed. I couldn't see them because I was like microscope on my shit, the things that I didn't like anymore. And that was one of the things that we were tripping out about yesterday. It's like I think that God's going to take the stuff that I just don't want anymore. And I think it was Carl sharing about it in a meeting, like last year. He was talking about the seventh step. And it was like the first time that I noticed in the prayer, it says, my usefulness to you and my fellows, you as in God. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I how long have I been reading this prayer? And I really did believe it was like, these things that are going to make me more perfect, these things that are going to make me comfortable and just like a more likable person,
People are going to love me now that these things are being removed. Thanks, God. And that just has not been my experience. Everything that I come up against, all these defects of character, belief systems, guiding forces in my life, 100% are useful to my fellows. Useful to my evolution with God, right? We're talking about spiritual evolution. So seven-step prayer, like, I mean, you kind of already did it, but in your own words, which I liked. But my Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We then completed step seven. So, like, all this stuff that I believed was six and seven, nowhere in this text does it say, like, hey, carry around defects in your back pocket and micromanage your life with your newfound willpower that you gained from the first five steps of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like,
yeah,
that just didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, I even, like, I don't know. And I think it's just all worth the experience. Like, I'm so grateful that, I don't know, that I had such a misunderstanding of six and seven, because then at year five, I was able to, like, smack pavement with my face, you know, metaphorically. That didn't really happen.
Oh, okay.
But be able to see, like, oh, wow, like, I believed that I had some power. You know, like Lindsay said, the ego always resurfaces. And that's why I think it's so amazing to have, I don't know, like, big book studies and people with time sober and people to talk to and connect to, and like Lindsay said, even people to share fifth steps with, and get as much eyes on your shit as possible, because then I'm able to see, like, the amount of misconceptions that I have, the amount of misunderstandings, the amount of things that I think I know. I think up until us, everyone was reading a set-aside prayer for each step.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that. I mean, and it's funny because it is, like, it is revolutionary to people. Like, I remember first approaching the idea that, I don't know, that I was going to ask someone to guide me through the step process and that they wouldn't necessarily be my sponsor. And it's a very interesting process. Like, I met with a doctor a few weeks ago, and he was a psychiatrist, and he was like, so do you have a sponsor? And I was like, I don't know, I have, like, a bunch of women in my life that look at my stuff, and I regularly go through the process. And he was like, oh. And I was like, God, that's like, embarrassing, you know? But there was a part of me that was like, I love that about the book in general, is that I'm able to actually go word by word.
Mm-hmm.
And six and seven is actually very straightforward.
Yes.
It's hey, God.
Hmm?
Hey, God.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie. So, in short, my experience with six and seven, I'm a definite believer that I just do what's here from the bottom of my heart with what I've got. It should be very fluid. There's nothing in there that says you've completed step seven. Take a month on that.
Oh, yeah.
Take a few, you know, it's like, you've completed it. Now we need more action.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome. Because I really do believe that this whole entire thing is about having a relationship with power and accessing it, and that's it. So if I can see that in and of myself, I need access to this, and I can't do it, these prayers, steps six is the state of consciousness, answer those questions. So the seven-step prayer is just affirming that which is already there of God, I need you, thank you. You do with me what you will. You know, not to make me more comfortable, not to make me better, not to make me anything, but to make me in the light of you so I can help you. That's it. So I can go out here and physically connect and do the rest of the step work, right? Because that's what it's to just keep moving forward. So, are you good? Anything mm-hmm. else? All right, thank you all for your time. And, oh, wait, hold up.
All right. We're going to break for dinner we'll do 5 to 5:45. Would you pray us out?
Pray.
And ladies first, this side.
Okay, what am I doing? Praying for food? Is that what I'm doing? Okay, oh, well, okay, sure. Again, thank you all for the being here for the step stuff. Now we're going to pray. Yeah, we're praying! All right. God. Thank you so much for providing pizza. Right? Okay, good. And so it's like, oh God, that's an inside joke that no one else knows of. Anyway, sorry.
God does.
God does. No, really, let's take a moment. I thank you so much for bringing us all here today. Thank you so much for all the wonderful people that have shared their experience, that continue to provide laughter and love and experience and all that kind of good stuff. Let's all have a blast. And there, that will be done. Thank you for the food, too.
Amen.
Amen.
Like rub-a-dub-dub.
Rub-a-dub-dub in the bathtub.
No. Thanks for the grub. Yay, God.
Thanks for the grub.
Oh. Sherry, guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm ready.